You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You may take your seats. Today is week two of the new sermon series, Breaking Bad. I saw someone complain that HA is not an element, and I said, shut up. Come on, someone say, shut up. Yeah, come on, complainer, right? People will choose to complain. I choose to celebrate that we, Eternity Church, discovered a new element. Amen. Yes. Woo. They want to complain. We're going to be rich. Discovering new elements every day. Amen. This new sermon series is entirely about freedom and the power of God. We're not trying to make you or anyone else feel bad about themselves for having bad habits. Heck knows, I got one too. Maybe more than one or two. This is about you breaking bad habits. This is about you learning and understanding that God cares about your life. The big things, the little things, the high points and the low points. If there's something in your life that you're desperate to break off, God cares about that. If there's something in your life that's causing you hurt, pain, trouble, grief, God cares about that. And guess what? He's willing and able to help. Some people you meet in life are willing to help, but they haven't got any ability to help. You met those people? I love those people. We call those people all talk, right? All talk. Hey, we've all been there at some point or another, haven't we, right? Sometimes all talk is just one of the steps on the faith journey to being there, right? I don't know. And some people have absolutely everything they could need to help you. It won't hurt them, but they're just not willing. You met those people too? We call those people, usually there's a bleep when you say it, so. Some people are able, not willing. Some people are willing, not able. God is both willing and able to help you in your life today. Amen. That's good news. That deserves a shout of praise. Someone thank the Lord in here. He's willing and able. Come on, thank the Lord in here. Praise God. Now, before we start to preach today, you need to know, you will yell at me. You will yell at me today, all right? You will respond, or I will one day genuinely throw my sermon notes up on the screen and walk out. All right, so make sure you yell at me. Let me know you're awake. Let me know you're listening. Let me know if the word's good. Amen. Come on, you know what they say? Celebrate with those who celebrate, right? Mourn with those who are mourning. I ain't mourning today. I'm celebrating that God is willing and able to help you. So you better celebrate with me. Amen. You ready to celebrate? Awesome. You ready for today's message? Come on, are you ready for today's message? Awesome. Come on now. I heard a joke this week comparing a bad golfer to a bad skydiver, right? You want to hear it? What's the difference between a bad skydiver and a bad golfer? The answer is, one goes, darn it, thud. And the other goes, thud, darn it. Think about that for a minute. So let's talk about comparison, shall we? Let's talk about comparison today. That's the topic of the day, comparison. Who knows that there's no point comparing two incomparable things, right? There's no point comparing the quality of my car to the quality of this bottle of water. They're not comparable, they're different things. You don't compare golfers to skydivers, two different things, am I right? So today we want to talk to you about comparison. Some of us, perhaps all of us at times have, will do, or are doing, are in a terrible habit of comparing ourselves, our things, and the world around us. And we can easily become distracted from what God has for us and what we're supposed to be doing out of too much concern for everybody else, what they're doing and what they have, what they're not doing, or what they don't have. Am I right? So let's pray. God, life is tough when we compare ourselves to others. We know that when we do, we can often bring ourselves down or push others down, and it causes us stress or them stress, and nobody wins. It adds to pressure and stress in our lives. It doesn't help anyone become any better. I ask you today to help us rid ourselves of that bad habit of comparison. Help us to be more like you and celebrate when people celebrate and mourn when people mourn. To be encouraged when people win and to lift up people who aren't winning. God, help us to live like you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there's a quote that's often attributed to President Theodore Roosevelt. He said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." Who knows that to be true? Yeah? Comparison is the thief of joy. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Hey, become like him, right? "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You've heard it said before, haven't you? "Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Today, throughout this whole message, I need you to know and remember repeatedly. Jesus is standing here today, and he's telling you, "Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest." Psalm 91, if you remember from last week, says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Come to me and I will give you rest. Whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." When Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest," he's reminding us of what the psalm writer said in Psalm 91, that spending time in the presence of God will give you rest. It's where you'll find strength. It's where you'll break free from bad habits. Amen. You will find rest and refuge in Jesus Christ. So remember, as I preach today, rather than comparing yourself to me or somebody else, remember Jesus is saying, "Come to me, I'll give you rest. For your mind, for your heart, for your weary soul, find rest and peace in him today." Amen. We all compare ourselves in weird ways, don't we? We didn't come out of the womb doing that. We learnt that somewhere along the way. When I was a young fella, I didn't really do that very much. It took me a long time to cotton on to this comparison thing. I was a slow learner. I spent most of my life feeling like everybody else was just like me. Everybody else must come from broken families. Everybody else must have this level of wealth. Everybody else must have this level of drama in their lives. It wasn't until I got to about year 10, year 11, year 12. You call those weird words over here like, I don't know, Shunda, Barbana, whatever these words are. You know, it'd be so much simpler if you just do like Australia. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Whole world gets that. I've been here 5.5 years. I have no idea what any of the four things you say are. I just go, when they say, I say, "How many years since kindergarten?" I go, "Okay, cool. So you're done this year. Good. America." See, it took me till about year 10, year 11, year 12, to figure out that everyone wasn't just like me. They didn't all have the same dramas that we had. They didn't all have the same amount of money as us, and they didn't have the same cars and houses as us. My dad worked very hard. My stepmom worked quite hard also, and they both loved us very much in the midst of their own drama. And it's all I knew. And it's what I thought everybody else had too. In my senior years, I begin to notice my senior years. In my senior years of school, I know I got a gray beard. In my senior years of school, I began to notice that other split families didn't tend to live with their dads. They usually live with their mums. What's that all about? What does that mean about my mum, and why didn't she want me? Right? Because what's the difference about us and everybody else? Other families hated their stepmoms or their stepdads. I thought mine were the bee's knees. I wouldn't have changed anything, right? Other families didn't live on massive houses on a lake with an island out the back and a bridge and a billion leeches every time you swim. Other families didn't have a new car every year or so. And as I began to notice this, my sense of worth began to be ordered by these things that other people did have or did not have. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what comparison does in our lives. Some of them made me feel better than everybody else because my house is better than yours. Because we've got a new car and yours has holes in it. So I began to feel better than those people, right? Some of them made me feel worse. Why did your mum want you and mine didn't want me? Why do you have your parents buying you everything and mine make me work and earn it myself? Why are we so different? What's all these things? We begin to order our lives. We begin to order our sense of worth based on what we notice other people have or haven't got. See, I worked hard milking cows and we always had everything we needed. I had nice clothes, had nice shoes, but now all of a sudden I didn't appreciate them like I did before I realized what other people had. See, I would walk out the door of my house, walk into the bus stop, thinking I look good. I'm singing, I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah, I'm singing it all the way up to the bus stop. And I believed it. But then I walk up the steps of the bus and I see what everybody else is wearing and they ain't all wearing plaid anymore. All of a sudden, I feel like Gollum, also known as Jeff Doll's cat. Someone say preach. Finding our sense of self-worth or value in comparison always brings someone down. It'll be you or them. But finding a sense of self-worth in comparison will bring one of you down. You ever hear the song by Paul Coleman Trio? Who's ever heard of Paul Coleman Trio? Are they Australian, babe? Well, that explains why no one lifted their hand in any service. The song's called I'm in the Middle. I'm in the middle. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the middle. Not good enough for you, not dirty enough for some. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the middle. Not safe enough for you, not crazy enough for some. You ever felt like you're in the middle? This is what comparison does. You'll never be as good as them, but you'll always be better than them. You'll never have as much as them, but you'll never be as broke as them. You'll never be as good a guy as him, but you'll always be better than that dirty bugger. That's what comparison does in our lives. It's kind of like on the political scheme, right? This is how independents feel every day. I'm in the middle, not left enough for them, not right enough for them. You're just never okay when you're comparing yourself, are you? It doesn't work. Everybody's so concerned about what everyone else is thinking that we forget to pay attention to ourselves. You ever hear that Jack Johnson song? I'm singing a lot today. You're in for a real treat. Oh, but everybody thinks that everybody knows about everybody else, but nobody knows about themselves because they're all worried about everybody else. I can do it again. Hey, I said, if it's good, tell me it's good. I feel like that was the best an Aussie in Des Moines at eternity has ever sung that song. Compare myself to all the other Aussies that have done that on this stage. So why do we compare ourselves, right? What causes us to want to, need to derive our sense of self-worth in our comparison to other people? Why do we do that? I do believe that the antidote to deriving a sense of self-worth higher or lower than those around us is to understand what God says about us. Galatians 6:4 says to pay careful attention to your own work. In Australia, we would say, stay in your lane. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Galatians 6:4. Another way to say it is just stay in your lane. Stay in the lane that God puts you in. Do what God called you to do. Don't be so concerned with your rubber neck about what they're all doing. Just do what you're called to do. Let me tell you, in 2 weeks I'm preaching a message on complaining. Someone complain about that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to tell you right now, if you'll do this and stay in your own lane, the complaining might just disappear, right? I might not have to preach that message in a couple of weeks if we nail this today, all right? If you stay in your lane, you'll never be happier than when you pay attention to the things that are in your lane. You'll never be more successful than when you pay careful attention to what God has called you to do. You'll never be more miserable than when your eyes are continually distracted by what's happening over the other side of the median strip. They are going a total different direction than you. Right or wrong, it's different. You'll be distracted trying to watch their Mercedes-Benz fly past that way, and you're going to hit the median strip, and it's all going to end quick, smart, and hurry. You'll never be more happy than when you focus on your lane, the lane that God puts you in. Now, who knows? It's okay to be inspired by other people, right? Of course, right? You know, it's okay. It's also okay to, if somebody's struggling, to notice their struggle with the intent to lift them up and hoping that one day they'll be better than you, right? That's honorable. That's good. That's good, right? Like, who's heard of Brian Houston and Hillsong Church? Who's heard of Brian Houston and Hillsong Church? Yeah. Like, what are we, living under a rock? I'm inspired by them. I'm inspired by what they do, by their heart, by their vision, by their leadership, by the way they operate. I'm inspired by the way they choose their words. I'm inspired by them, right? But who knows that if I was to compare myself to them, I'm gonna feel small. Really freaking small, right? But on the other hand, if I have a friend in a church in small town Iowa, who knows, I do have a friend there. He comes to visit us every now and again. If I was to look at his church of 80-odd and say, man, do you know what I want? I want to help you be bigger and better than us. That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be good. What can we do to help you, right? But if I want to feel good about myself, I can do this. Man, we had a low week last week. It was 687 people. Weren't as low as that. And now I'm like, now I feel good about that myself. I'm like, man, I'm wicked awesome. I'm way better than him. No, we want to be inspired by and inspire others. That's what we want to do. We're not deriving a sense of self-worth, our value from them or them. The problem comes when we look at them and begin to assume our value. You are not a car. Car. You are not a car. You know that? I can't look around and find comparables to you. See, I drive a 2017 Malibu. It's kind of girly because mine is iridescent pearl in color. I know, yours is silver. I know. Mine is iridescent pearl in color. Honestly, I like it. It's a wee bit girly. I get it. Sometimes I'm into stereotypes. Men should have black cars and girls should have pink cars. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not into that at all. But the cool thing about my car is it parks itself. Like, I click a button, steering wheel turns. Judah, my son, he told me it has that so girls can drive it too. I do not teach him this stuff, all right? His mum drives a Suburban, all right? It is 27 times bigger than my Malibu, and she parks it just fine. He learns this stuff at school, all right? Believe me, I am bringing the Holy Spirit into what the school is putting in him, all right? But you are not a car. Now, before I got my Malibu, I think I'd seen one. Now that I have my Malibu, I see them everywhere. Like, billions. close to billions of Malibus everywhere I go. I have seen a few that are identical to mine. Same trim level, same color, sunroof in the same spot, same wheels and everything. I've seen cars exactly the same as mine on the road. You are not a car. You don't have comparables for us to find your value. We can't get on Cali Blue Book and see what similar models to you are selling for. There's only you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, starting at verse 14. Thank you, talking to God, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Men, he's not talking about your wives. Wonderfully complex. I was listening to Joel Osteen a couple of weeks ago, if I can be so brutally honest. And he said, when we compare ourselves, we begin to compare others too. And he goes, men, if you are comparing your wife's faults to other people's faults, you'll start to think less of her. And then he said, just remember, be grateful for those faults. They stopped her getting a better husband. Can I ask some women in here say, amen? Yeah, that's right. Psalm 139, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. All of us, not just your husbands, not just your wives, all of us are so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, even as I was woven together by you in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life recorded in your book. Every moment laid out before a single day had even passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. You are unique. You're the only one. The only one. You have individual fingerprints. You have a unique voice that cannot be replicated. The sound you make is unique. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, you have a unique sound. Touch your other neighbor and say, and I'm talking about what comes out your mouth. The sound you make, I don't know what you all just assumed I was talking about. Come back to the sermon, everybody. The sound you make, it can be copied on a video or a cassette or a tape. It cannot be replicated, though. No one can perfectly copy how you speak. The noise you make cannot be made by somebody else without a recording device. They may sound similar, but they'll never sound like you. Nobody has your body. Nobody. No one on this planet has a body like yours. Come on, touch your spouse and say, nobody got a body like yours. Amen. Somebody's gonna be fatter. Somebody's gonna be skinnier. Somebody's gonna be shorter. Somebody's gonna be taller. Nobody looks like you. Nobody has your genes. Nobody has your design. You're a one-off. There's a blueprint. God made it individual for you, and then he destroyed it. It's only in you. Be you. Be who God created you to be. Stay in your lane. Stop looking to other people who are nothing like you for your sense of worth. You're already rad. He made you that way. Come on, someone touch one of your neighbors and say, stay rad. You won't be rad anymore if you try to be somebody else. Stay rad. He made you rad. Amen? Now, you know what else we can do? See, we do that. We undervalue ourselves because we look at other people. We try to determine our self-worth. But God already made us worth. Amen? Another thing we do is we can tend to make excuses for ourselves, can't we? When we compare ourselves, well, they had a better start than me. They had a better start than me. And so I don't have to do that. If I had what they have, I'd be there too. I get fed up with preachers who have a church of 20 saying things like, if I was in a town of 1 million, I'd have 1,000. I'm like, nope, you'd still have 20. It's just how it is. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. I don't say to Brian Houston, hey, Brian, buddy, if I was in New York, I'd have a church of 100,000 too. Nope, I wouldn't. I'll have what God's called me to have. I'll have what I work for. I'll have what I've earned, amen. And I'll have what he's blessed me with, amen. But when we compare ourselves, if I was this, if I was that, or what about this one? Someone's doing like 10 times more than you. So we say, well, they must have cheated to get there. And we limit what God can do in our lives by our comparisons. Comparing ourselves can rob us of the responsibility to work hard in our lane. And when we work hard in our lane, we're blessed. When we don't work hard in our lane, we're robbed of the reward. See, God blesses faithfulness. God blesses hard work. God blesses those who find their meaning and value in the calling that he placed on their lives rather than their comparison to somebody else. God will bless you when you find meaning in what he's called you to do instead of what he's called your friend to do. You won't find meaning in their calling. You'll find meaning in your lane. God bless you in your lane. Amen. God blesses hard work. God blesses faithfulness. God blesses wisdom. So do those things and ask for them from him. Amen. When we make excuses for ourselves, we begin to live with a kind of victim type mentality, and we limit what we can accomplish and what God can do in our lives because we can never be that because we didn't start there. I want to tell you, I don't care where you started, you will be all that he's called you to be if you will just work hard in that lane. Stay in your lane and God will bless your lane. Stay in your lane. Come on, someone say it. Stay in your lane. Stay in my lane. Come on, praise God. If somebody had a better start than you, work harder. Amen. If somebody cheated to get where they are, show everybody else, not so that they can glorify you, but so they can glorify God. Show everybody else that God blesses righteousness. Amen. If somebody else is more successful than you, thank God for what you have and celebrate what they have. Scripture says to celebrate with those who celebrate, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to mourn with those who mourn. So if somebody's winning, rejoice. Rejoice, amen. If somebody's winning in their lane, rejoice in that and work hard in yours so they can rejoice with you when you win too, amen. Stay in your lane. If you're a plumber, stop comparing your house to the governor's mansion. Unless you plan on becoming governor one day, that's probably not going to be your house. Stay in your lane. Find satisfaction in your lane. Trust that God will bless you. Yes, you can have blessing, financial blessing, increase, and all of that stuff in your life, but you won't have his mansion. It's okay. Just stay in your lane. He's in his lane. If he judged himself by yours, he'd be like feeling he's so much better than you because you've got that house. Just stay in your lane. Be where God's called you to be. If you're a teacher, stop comparing your suit to the stockbroker's suit. It doesn't matter. What's in his lane matters in his lane. What's in your lane matters in yours. Don't let the pressures of life cause your self-worth to be questioned. We get under pressure. We start to feel like when we're not performing anymore, and instead of going to Christ and asking for help, acknowledging that we need him, we tend to look around for those who are doing less than us to make ourselves feel better. I'd rather just be like, yo, Jesus, I need you. I need you right now. Because everybody else is winning. And instead of judging them for that, instead of feeling crap about myself, I'm just going to go to you. Hang out in your presence. where, funny enough, when you hang out with people, you tend to learn what they think about you. Hanging out in the presence of God, figuring out what God says about me. What was that? What did it say before? How wonderful, how precious are His thoughts about us. Hang out with Him, learn those things. And in that environment where all of a sudden you start to feel like Thomas the Tank Engine, where suddenly you start to feel like, I can do this. And then you say, God, help me do this. Instead of judging what else is going around. Otherwise, you know what comparison will do? It will only cement the sense of self-worth in your life that the devil already tried to give you. We really need, in those situations, to come humbly to the throne room of the one who can provide for every need, who can answer every prayer, who will comfort every heart. His name is Jesus, and He can give you any form of wisdom that you might ever need. There's never been a time in Scripture where someone has humbly come to God and said, God, give me the wisdom to deal with this situation, and every time He's given it to them. There's never been a time He hasn't. Come on now. You can go to Him, or you can make an excuse. Come to Him and say, God, help me feel about me how You feel about me. How about that? God feels about you. God thinks about you. We read that before, right? Man, wouldn't it be great if sometimes we would, instead of feeling so low because someone else is winning, if we just go to God and say, God, help me feel about me how You feel about me. When someone tells you you're a piece of this or you're a piece of that, or you didn't deserve any of this, or you didn't deserve any of that, instead of getting defensive, wanting to fight them, let's just take a check in our heart and say, God, right in this moment, help me feel about me how You feel about me. Isn't it interesting that Scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself? It's implying that you have to love yourself first. Can I have the band come back up? Let's think about that. Love your neighbor as yourself. You will be, a lot of you in here, right? Because some of you don't think too great about yourself. Some of you believe the stuff that's been said about you, right? Some of you believe that. And because you don't love yourself, when Scripture tells you to love your neighbor as you love yourself, for some of you, if you did that, you'd probably hate your neighbor because you hate yourself. You'd probably treat your neighbor like a piece of dirt because you'd treat yourself like a piece of dirt. You'd probably think your neighbor's going to hell because you think you're going to hell because you got a problem in your life. You need to first understand how God feels about you. Derive your sense of value and self-worth from what He says about you. Love yourself. Come on, like a little bit of Justin Bieber. Maybe you should go and love yourself. Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should. Come on, yes, you should. You need to love yourself. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you love yourself. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I know you do. That's right, you love yourself. You need to love yourself before you could ever be a good neighbor, before you could ever be a good dad, before you could ever be a good husband, before you could ever be a good mom, before you could ever be a good sister, wife, any of these things. You need to love yourself. You need to get some sort of sense of self-worth from what God says about you instead of turning to Facebook to find your sense of worth. The pressure of comparison is crushing people on Facebook. There's always someone that's got a way better house than yours on Facebook. Sometimes we're afraid other people will compare themselves to us, and so we won't post good things about our lives. Just don't do it in either direction. Just post and have fun and celebrate, right? But someone on Facebook has a better house than you. Somebody on Facebook has a worse house than you. If that makes you feel better, it shouldn't. Somebody on Facebook has a way nicer car than you, and they've got a photo of themselves next to it. Someone on Facebook bought their kid a first car that's better than the best car you've ever had. It's true, isn't it? Lauren and I are about to organize our vacation. We're trying to figure out, do we want to do a VRBO, vacation rental by owner? Do we want to get in an RV? What do we want to do? I know this though, when we decide it, we're going to see a picture on someone's Facebook page and they took their kids to Paris. We have two or three options at that point. Number one, we can stay in our lane and like love our vacation, either way it goes, right? Have an awesome time loving on our family, loving on each other, all the fun things that happen on vacation. The two other options are, number one, we can judge them. What a waste of money. Why would you take a one-year-old to Paris? They won't even remember it. You're an idiot. We are so much more frugal and smart than them. And now we feel good about our tent. Or maybe we'll go the other way. Why can't we do that for our family? We're just so useless. We're going to go to hell. Or we can stay in our lane and love what we do. We can celebrate that. That's wicked how cool that they could afford to take their family to Paris. We can celebrate, can't we? And we can celebrate them and celebrate us. Amen. There's always someone with a nicer car, with something more or something less. But what we really need to do in our lives is shut the door to comparison. Shut the door to deriving our sense of self-worth from what others have done, and start to derive our sense of self-worth from what Jesus Christ has done. What He done for you. He died for you. Nobody would die for me. He did die for you. Come on, church, stand up and praise Him. He died for you. Come on, where are you going to get your self-worth from? Where are you going to get it from? You need to get it from Him. You can get it from anywhere and it won't be accurate. He died for you. God, who had not even felt a splinter in a finger, took a spear in His side so that He could be your friend. That's freaking rad. I put it to you that God getting a spear in the side hurt more than it would hurt you or me. We've had pain before. God had never even had a splinter. Can you imagine going from never ever feeling that physical thing to a spear in the side? He came to earth for that, to experience all that pain so He could be your friend. You better believe He's not ashamed to be your friend in the midst of your worst bad habit. But He wants you to overcome. We're going to have an altar call in a minute. People are going to come down the front here and they're going to become who He says they are. They're going to find their worth in who God says they are. They're going to throw off all this other stuff. You know what? God in Scripture introduced Himself as I Am. That was His name. What? Think about that for a moment. Who are you? I am. Is that not the most self-confident description of yourself that you could ever give? It's not, I am better than Rupert Murdoch. I am better than Warren Buffett. No, it's none of that. It's, I am me. Boom. This is me. God introduces Himself as I am. He doesn't care about anything else. What you say He is, He is I am. We need to take a leaf out of I Am's book. Stop trying to be better than Warren Buffett. Stop trying to be better than Zeus. Hey, I am God. I am better than Zeus. No, I am. I am. I am. If I want to be who He says I am who I am says I am. Amen. I am who I am says I am.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.